Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Fire department report. Rob Nodine, our deputy chief. Are you doing that, Rob?
Yeah.
Okay.
So chief is on a cruise, so we're standing in for him. Rick and I are gonna tag team it together. Just for the incident report from April, we had 5 calls up until the 15th. Most of them are EMS calls, well, 4 out of the 5. We have 30 hours response time. In the month of April, we had 248 hours of training and other volunteer hours, about 102 for a total of 380 hours. So putting in a lot of time to stay up with current things and make sure that we are trained up.
We had a few things that we attended above and beyond. We had the went up to Enterprise with Engine 141 and our extrication tool, and we became the envy of Enterprise.
With our new tools, our new ones.
Anyway, so they had we tore a couple cars, and they find a EMS scenario with it. So it was really good, and gave us some good experience with our tools. Mark Rose is just finished up in Phoenix. He's getting blue card, basically ICS training, so that he can train us and train others so we can be proficient as incident commanders on Highway 18 and throughout our response area. So we really appreciate that, which is above and beyond, because Dameron is doing the same class, but Mark took it upon himself to go all the way down there and do it for us so that we don't necessarily have to go through Dameron. But anyway, we'll have that expertise. But that's defined as Mark is. Anyway, we also did, for a couple of our residents, they requested a cabin exterior fire inspection, which we conducted. It was 4 of us that went out and gave recommendations. We have a form that we've used, and it's all specifically worked through Utah State Fire Marshal's office. And so we basically gave them recommendations because we don't have the authority to require it. But they were very, very receptive, and it was really worth our time and worth it. And we've got positive feedback from that. We also, Bob Bailey and myself represented the department at the Elks Lodge. They had a memorial service over there behind you on the board over there. Is Bonnie Cabley, I don't know how to pronounce it specifically, but anyway, she passed away. She was very instrumental. Her and one other lady put together and coordinated most all of the fundraising for the $21,000+ that we received from Elks. And so we felt it was the least we could do to represent our department and offer our appreciation and condolences to the family.
Great. Good job.
Anything else, Rob? Or
not that I can think of.
Do you have any questions?
Any questions from the board for Rob or?
I have a question.
Rick? Yeah, sure.
My fire insurance got canceled. Farmers insurance agent here, Rex Oliver, said that Farmers isn't renewing any Pine Valley policies in the future.
That's probably true.
And it's a problem.
It says we have a rating of 9 or 10.
Okay.
Anybody know what our fire department rating is?
I think it's really good.
I think
it's very good.
But mine was canceled a couple of years ago, and us with the auto owners.
And ours quadrupled in price.
Yeah, and there's still companies that are available, but prices are a little higher. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Progressive is riding in Safeco.
I already know that Safeco and the premium's a little less than, but still close to 4,000.
Have you looked at Bear River? We have ours with Bear River, and our premium on our new house actually went down. That's because ours is totally fire rated. It's brick. It's non-combustible any place outside.
Well, you've got a sprinkler system.
I know, but I'm just telling you that all that stuff makes a difference. But, our one company, which is auto owners, they actually sent us a letter, said it's going to cancel. So we went to Bear River, and they found an underwriter that would rate us. And that's part of living here in this wildland. If you got trees, you got a lot of trees right behind you.
Yep.
All those trees, they come and look at that. They may say, oh, we're not going to cover you because of that.
But that's not on your property, is it, really?
No, that's...
Is it?
Well, it is my property.
Is it?
Up the hill.
I thought I was singing Randy, oh, who's right behind you.
I'm about halfway up the hill.
All right, okay.
What we have is this program that we offer to the residences for us to come out and give you some heads up. It's not necessarily comes from any insurance company. Basically, what we're doing is giving you all the information you need to be able to make your home and your area as fire safe as possible, which can only enhance your ability to be insured. And there are things coming down the pike from the state. It's all conceptual, would you agree?
Yeah, there's still a lot needs to be done with it.
Right.
And HB 48.
Yeah, and it's going to be a real eye-opener, and it's going to affect all those communities in the wildland urban interface. And what the insurance companies decide to do with it is anybody's guess. It can be a real mud puddle. The idea is really good. How it's administered and so forth could really change the complexion of a lot of things around here.
It's supposed to go into effect January 1st, 26.
Right.
But like Rick said, there's a lot of discussion still in the mix that needs to be ironed out before anything can be solidified. I mean, the bill's passed, but there's still some... It's interesting that the bill is passed with all this interior working that still needs to be done.
So you found a carrier?
Safeco.
Yeah.
So just be aware of that, and anything you can do, and any way we can help to give you ideas to mitigate it, to make things safer, that's what we're here for, and we're willing to do that.
Any of the board members can expand on this, but one of the... As we report the hours, as we document the training, as we have modern equipment that we purchase, and all of this is expensive, it works to improve our rating that we have. And we actually have for our area, unless it's changed, a very good rating. Is that true, Shaky?
We do.
And thank goodness we have that. I mean, if we had a non-functional fire department, we may not be able to get any insurance here. So, I mean, my compliments, and that goes to our current leadership prior before that. It has been that way for some time. Rob, one thing I'd ask you that might be enlightening to the board is, now that the weather's improving, what is the focus of our training in the fire department and exercises? What are we working on?
Right now we're doing a lot of engine preparation and wildland training, just because of the possibility of wildland fire during the fire season. And we've been doing a lot of that for the last month and a half. Hose lays, making sure all of our apparatus, all of our wildland firefighters are comfortable working the pumps, know how to operate them. So obviously with our fire department being all volunteer, we all wear many, many hats. And so you never know who's going to show up from day to day or call to call. So it's really nice to know that your partner sitting next to you has gone through the training and knows how to work the apparatus. You're comfortable. So that's the, from the fire department aspect, that is our main focus of our training in the last month. We also have had our EMS as well. So, doing a lot there.
On behalf of the board, thank you very much. And as a volunteer myself, I can tell you it's effective training, it's very good, and the review is excellent.
I would also like to add that from our fire department here, from what I've been told and what Chief has said in the past, we're probably one of the better attended volunteer fire departments in the area.
Sure.
And we have, our membership is pretty large, comparatively speaking, to other volunteers.
Nobody trains as much as we do.
Yeah
we train every week. Yeah, we train every week.
I mean, every week, other places are doing it once a month.
Yeah.
And the Forest Service was doing the burn. Did they call you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They call Chief all the time.
Yeah.
We can go up and look, but we can't do anything with them. But they just let us know what's happening. And then they'll pay next door.
So they won't let you go up and...
No,
yeah.
You can't.
They scare me a little.
That's your property. And we actually like it that way. you know, that's their really quick.
Yeah.
They're the pros from Dover in the forest. And
they're the ones lighting the fires.
Better off sticking right down here where we belong.
Yeah. Any more questions for Rob or?
Have the Forest Service talked at all about firefighter cuts? Any concerns about that this summer from their perspective with wildland fires?
You know, I haven't heard anything. I'm on a couple blogs. I know that there's been an increase in wildland firefighter pay. It's been passed by the government, but I haven't heard anything as far as cuts. There might be some seasonals that aren't hired. They aren't hiring as many seasonals as they did in the past, but...
They haven't talked about concerns.
No. Not that we've been told.
Anything further? Thanks so much.
Of course.
You guys are terrific. Great report. Alan, do you want to take the lead on this quarterly board financial review?
I can get my notes.
Yeah.
Rick, I only had one question.
No, I'm talking about...
We went over...
Yeah, the meeting.
From our perspective, I think that... you know, Bob and I have recognized that through this process of trying to do everything we're supposed to do, recognizing that we're supposed to do more, and the accounting or being called to account with Rick and LaDon with the duties and now separated those duties, and then for us to take the time to ultimately review and balance. And just another double set of eyes, so to speak, relative to, I would say, the safety of the resources that were provided to communicate to the community. Obviously, the fact that there is some serious paying attention, so to speak. And I'll credit Brian with bringing to our attention some of those things that we really needed to address to get to a foundational level that brings us a little more professionalism is probably the best way to put that from our perspective. Bob is obviously the guru from an accounting and CPA, and you know, so he's teaching the rest of us how we should do it. And ultimately,
yeah, thanks.
Rick and LaDon have both, we've tasked them with some pretty significant responsibilities and a separation of duties. They both have jumped in both feet. I mean, Rick early on was, we got a bit of pushback is probably the best way I put it, but he was over his head. Now he feels pretty comfortable and figuring out.
Yeah, that new system they moved me to.
Well, and I think it's all good from the board and the community's perspective. So in that regard, I think that we're in pretty good shape.
I was impressed with the new QuickBooks and its interface with the banks. And there's just automatic reconciliation. You can look at it in any moment, whether it's in balance or not. And we discussed a way to kind of document the reconciliation as necessary.
Well, we didn't have the right report to show you. We didn't print the right one. Yeah. So you'll be happy next time.
Okay.
You'll be happy.
Yeah. Anyway, I was pleased as well.
It did that online when we balance it, but we didn't. Yeah. It didn't print the report that way. We found out how to print that report.
So this review, and I wouldn't call it an audit, it's a review by appointed board members as part of our new policies related to budgeting, related to cash management and so forth. So that we'll do that each quarter in the month following the end of the quarter. So anyway, my thanks to LaDon and to Rick very much. Any questions on that? Okay, clerk report.
Okay, you had a question?
I only have one. Where's my red mark?
I got a couple.
And we may have talked about this in the past, but your line item that calls billable expenditure revenue?
What page?
That's like your third page in. $835. Nice. And I don't ever recall seeing that before. Now, you may have... It's under income, right there at the top. Your second line. Go to your third page.
Mm-hmm.
on your budget review. Under 101.
Oh, budget review.
Okay. Hold the bird. Okay.
That's fees that we charge for other things that happen. So, like late fees and stuff like that. So, I think.
You're talking about that. Billable expenditure?
Yeah.
The billable expenditure revenue, 835.
Yeah, it did make sense to me.
I'm not quite sure either. Let me look.
I mean, I'm not sure why we titled it that.
So I don't know.
Billable expenditure revenue.
Yeah, that did make sense to me. I'm just kidding.
I don't know. Let me look.
Okay.
That's
the only question I had on anything. Everything else, I was good with.
I've got a couple questions. On the... in the month of April, on account 1205, donated funds, $675.
An expense that we use for paying for with donations.
Okay, it's just a little confusing for it. So it's expenses funded by donations is what you're telling me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what that was 12
is that the metal
headlights?
Headlamps.
There are 12 headlamps. 15. And that had originally been agreed to purchase last year, and it didn't happen last year, so we ended up moving it to this year. Those are headlamps.
The other one, and I know you're just getting used to the system, so the signs, in other words, positive and negative, is not clear to me. I get it. I can get the math to work. But
budget review?
Yeah, no, just take the first page of the P&L.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the over budget by? Is that what
you've got total income, that's income. That's a positive number, 100. Everything else below that is a negative. And, there's no sign convention that's a negative. So I'm just looking at this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a positive number. And these look like they're positive numbers, but they're really negative.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be you just getting used to the system. What either.
I'm printing you the report as it comes out.
I mean,
I'm converting it over to Excel.
Yeah.
And what the data that is flashing out isn't coming as a negative. It's just assuming that
those are costs
and expenses where the front top of it is income, the other things are expenses.
Yeah.
And it does the math at the bottom of it.
Yeah. So it works.
Total expenses is $4,800, and then the income was $100 that month.
Right.
And so it's using that.
No, I got it to work. To someone that's not a bean counter, might be confusing.
It's not, this is not a formula driven report. It's filling the blanks, and I'm printing the report as a report comes out.
Okay.
So we can change that.
It's not super critical. That's all the questions I had.
Okay. $1,300 was training for EMS. Big expense. And then the $1,700 were some hoses that we bought. Got feed hoses for.
And that's the EMS is for the guys.
That's for the five guys
that are being trained.
Going to
guys
school.
And gals, sorry. Yeah. Okay, good. Why don't we do the treasurer's report and then we'll have a motion. Go ahead on that one if you'd like.
Okay.
Thank you, Rick.
So was April 30th. We went and did a review of the bank checking account and QuickBooks and reconciled everything, and it turned out perfectly. And also, where is that? Spend a lot of time at the bank. I want to see that one real quick. Spend a lot of this last month has been insane. So we have put $143,000
that we've collected
in Venmo and checks from the assessment fee. $174,250 were billed, so we're 83% already paid.
So I noticed accounts receivables $39,000, which is way more than last year, but we hadn't billed
yet.
Until what, June?
And we're now down to $30,000.
Are we?
Good. The pieces have come through.
Usually that works its way down.
Mm-hmm.
At what point do we file with the county? Do we give people a lot of time on this?
September, okay. Late September, October. And right now, with this new system, if I happen to have an email address for somebody, I can send them a nasty gram to say,
really?
Pay your bill.
Pay your bill.
And I got two people I sent you.
Signed Guido?
And they responded to me. Yeah, it surprised me. It was like,
so we're about 20.
I need everybody's email now.
So actually, that's pretty amazing. So
yeah.
We're in the 80% range of collection.
Yeah,
and when we only
already.
And when we billed it,
yeah,
what, six
March
weeks
15th.
Ago? Yeah. That's amazing.
Set a due date.
Yeah.
And,
people are great.
April.
People are great. Any other questions you have?
I have just a couple of, just the fact that audit information is sent to the auditor, so the guy will finalize that. Nothing was sent for the local district. I only sent it for the special service district. And transparency, that was a challenge too with the new system. So
yeah.
We finally got that to upload a report, and we're compliant in all our transparency reports too. So
we're due to send your final report. Is that June 30th or June 1st?
No, we have to send it June 1st.
Okay.
And we need to do that board's self-certification, which, have we done that? Is
no,
that the
we
thing
have
we
not
did?
Done
we have
that
not
yet.
Done that.
No, that should be you guys, I would think, for both places.
Well, I think, yeah, it includes the chair.
It's just more, if you read the form, it says a authorized individual from the board is the one that sits down and goes through it, and then you would probably then review your results with the board. It's not.
When is that due?
It should be done by the end of June.
Okay.
It goes in as a separate entity. It's a,
we should probably do
upload
that.
And file.
Yeah.
You can make it part of your quarterly, whichever quarter is the right one, first quarter. So each
should,
year is kind
we
of
we should have done that,
there.
But we didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the
subject. We better put that on the agenda for next month, and that would be the self-certification approval, I think, by the board. I think Alan and
I'll send you the forms if you need them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's have the forms. Alan and I will go through those and have those ready for the board discussion, and if they deem approval.
And just for the minutes, we were just talking about setting up for the audit. It's really not an audit. We
no, it's
we're not
an audit.
That's with
the
self-certification,
the
right?
Right, which before he was said he had sent it to
yeah.
the auditor. So I just
yeah. It's a review.
To refer it to that if that's something
yeah.
you were concerned about.
Yeah, it's just a review that they're doing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But the state accepts it. So.
All right, do we have a motion to accept the clerk and the treasurer?
I'll make the motion to accept.
I'll second.
Having heard a motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Okay, citizen
right
items.
Here.
Did I miss
another
something?
One, the webmaster, the new webmaster stuff with the MOU.
How did I miss that?
Oh,
because I'm on the wrong one, that's why.
I don't really have an update on that. From our last meeting, Robert said that he had talked to Joseph, who was interested, and I think we were going to talk to him about price and budget,
right.
And I haven't heard anything.
Okay, so.
He hasn't got back to us on that, so I think we need to hold until.
I know Vicky was asking about it. Mm.
Move that to next month.
You don't think he was, or?
Vicky was asking about it.
And the state of Utah sent me an email. They offer some pretty decent security training and security programs. So when we start getting into that detail of having a website and that, we need to get whoever's involved in that to work through the state on it, because they offer some pretty good assistance to us for nothing. To help us secure all of our things, both our emails and all of that stuff. So,
well, we know Vicky's wants this to end, so I'm not sure what she's communicated with LaDon recently, but we should probably, if we don't have this advanced by next month, I think we have to move on and find another option.
So this needs to be added to the agenda for next month,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, let's do that. Robert's out of town, and so we can't get his report on that.
Yeah, I think that there's some work that needs to be done because that website is not secure. It's just, yeah.
There's a lot of work, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be done, especially if we're going to consolidate it all and put both boards on that side. And,
okay.
And then we'll have to deal with the budget
yeah.
issue of that when we get
there. There's also an issue, and it's, you know, it's not on the agenda, but it's part of our new policies, and that is the annual training the board members are... to comply with. And I know Tom from the other board sent out some information, which I've done, which I have a certificate, public meetings, budgeting process, there was a couple, three others. So I think we're all, I have a certificate that said I did it. And I guess I encourage the board, if you haven't done it, I could send that link. And you're the records guy.
When you get that done, you can put that to me. It's just going in a file right now. When we get the website up, yeah. Well, all of that will upload onto that. But right now, I'm just keeping a copy of the file at my house.
So I don't know. Have you done that, Emily?
And have
you
I haven't done the updated ones, but
We've done them before, but I think it's supposed to be annual.
There's one that I can't even remember what it's called, but what do you have to do every year?
The open meeting one. Open meeting. Every year. Yeah. And there are board responsibilities you have to do once a term. Yeah.
Right. I'll send you this together if you get that. Maybe I think we decided to have it done before June 1st. So
yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
I do have one other item before you go to the citizens.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not on the agenda, but in the information on the grammar request, it says in there that if we get a request that takes a lot of time, more than just a minimal amount, that we can actually bill, that we can actually ask them to pay X amount of dollars per copy, and we have something on that.
Yeah, we have a policy, 20 cents or
10 cents per copy.
But we don't have anything for an hourly rate. Like if somebody asks us for a big file, do we have to go back? Where it's not all electronic now, we have to go back and open the files and make copies and all that. It says in here that we are supposed to set a per hour rate that we would charge somebody for that request. And it says it's based on the lowest qualified person that can do that. Well, we only have two people that are paid, so it has to be...
They're paid the same.
Paid probably Rick, whatever Rick thinks that we would put it cost per hour. And him and I have talked, and so Rick, what do you think?
We have talked in the fact that you can't work at McDonald's for $22. So we had talked that with overhead, some sort of a $25 in overhead, kind of like $45.
And that just needs to be part of our policies. That anybody requesting a grammar request is more than the normal. I can't remember exactly what it says. Maybe all the things I read it first.
So if I recall right, Emily, I mean, we have a cents per page.
Yeah, we've only got two sections under fees. It says we can elect to charge the actual cost of providing a record when it's provided in a form other than normally maintained. And that's 20 cents.
That's just for the copies.
Yeah.
But nothing for an hourly rate to research.
And then it says the district may not charge for the first 15 minutes of a search. It may not charge for allowing the requester to inspect the record, and it may not charge for reviewing a record to determine whether it's the subject of a request. That's the extent of it. That's all we have.
And then it does say in the grammar thing that if it's more than that, we have to say what that amount's going to be. We just can't arbitrarily
decide.
For years, it's going
to
be this.
So it sounds like we need to amend that policy.
If we want to charge that, we don't have to.
Well, we've had a request that could take
ridiculous request that could take 40 hours.
40 or 50 hours.
Yeah, they want.
So what's,
for
is there...
For many years, pictures of every purchase we had.
Well, I'm just saying, how much an hour would you, if you had to charge somebody for the work you did, how much an hour would you charge? How much would an accountant charge if they were done it, you know?
Oh, it'd be more than that, but
I don't think that's... And a volcano pie.
Well, I thought it had to be tied to what somebody was actually being...
That's exactly. So I asked Rick, I says... When you figure how much hours you put in, how much are you getting paid?
Well,
what are we paying somebody?
Well, I mean, you have a salary. You both have the same salary. Mm-hmm. And you know what that amount is per year divided by 2080. That's 40 hours a week, and that's the amount of salary.
Well, are they working 40 hours a week for us?
No, okay. So, well, how many hours? 20?
It depends on the time of year right now.
Oh, well, this past month, it's been a lot of hours.
Yeah. It varies by the job at the time. Right now, we're crazy. Yeah.
I mean, it probably averages up 15.
Well, it shouldn't be arbitrary. I mean,
We should have some comment in there that we can charge for.
No, so, I don't disagree with the policy amendment. I'm just saying, how do we get to the number?
Well, that's something we can set that number. It's got to be in line with the industry of people that do this kind of work. So if somebody's hired to do this in an office, are they going to get paid $20 an hour plus overhead? Are they going to get paid $25 an hour plus overhead?
I'm confused. Does it have to tie to what we're actually paying people?
No.
Are you saying we can just make the number up?
Well, it just says in there that it's supposed to be based on the lowest amount of somebody that's qualified. Well, what makes us qualified to do that? We're all volunteers. Are we qualified? Well, no, I'm probably not. I work for free, but if I step out of this office, it's going to cost $75 an hour for anything I do.
So what are you suggesting?
That's what I'm bringing up. So I'm just saying that, come next month, we ought to come down to meet that part of that grammar request.
But you have a deadline. Don't you have 10 days to do it or something?
No.
Yes, you do, unless it's extraneous.
This one I'm talking about is...
Okay, yeah, so to Bob's point, you have 10 business days to fulfill the grammar request unless there's extraneous circumstances. This sounds like one of those. So they would not be held to the 10 days to fill that out.
Yeah, but most ones, like when we was getting some requests in here, it was not a big deal. We could get it off our electronic stuff.
Yeah, it's like 5 minutes.
You know what I mean?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
we can do that. Fun. It's going to be hours and hours and hours then.
Yeah.
You can't fill that in 10 days.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, do we have to respond to these people to say?
I'm not talking about these people. I'm talking about this. It says in there that if we have to put man hours into it, how much are we going to charge per man hour?
Well, and I think the reason for making the point is that if somebody makes a request that's going to take significant time, then they need to be made aware.
They will, and that's exactly
that time is going to cost them.
Yeah, and that's right in the state grammar. If you read those guidelines, that's what it says. But the board has to decide what that is going to be, and it needs to be reasonable. It can't be give me $200 an hour, because nobody makes $200 an hour.
My attorney does.
Well, but he's not doing the grammar request.
Yes, he has a degree to back that up. Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm trying to decide whether we need to make a decision about one. I mean, a beginning accountant makes $75,000 a year. That's $37.50 an hour on a full-time job. So I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. And then they would have overheads at about 50% of that.
But we need
so
to
that's
that
another
right now.
That's another $18. So that'd be about, it'd be in the range of $50 an hour.
Firm would have, they'd have an intern do this. And two, there's no overhead. Overhead's for burden, right? That's for taxes and all this stuff. We're having this fulfilled by independent contractors, a flat rate. So there is no overhead.
Well.
What overhead is there?
Well, I'm just saying, I'm inferring that you're tying it to what we're actually paying somebody. There is no overhead for a contractor, but there is for someone if it's a minimum qualified person. I'm having a little trouble distinction between what we're paying someone versus what.
Well, it needs to be
versus what a professional would charge.
It needs to be,
and a professional would include overheads.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I charge somebody $75 an hour to go do some plumbing. That includes my overhead, that includes everything.
But there is no overhead for what we're charging here.
No.
I mean, I don't disagree with that part.
Yeah,
right. You know, it's just a question of, do we have to tie it to something we're paying?
There is. There's our accounting software.
Yeah.
Or is that overhead?
Yeah.
Well, but that's owned by the SSD, though. So I'm just saying, think about that. I asked Rick earlier, and he says, well, that's a hard number, because I says, well, based on the amount of hours you work, he says, well... Because based on last month, I'm only at $2 an hour. But, yeah.
So
they make $3
on the
annual.
So take their contract and divide it by the estimated hours that they spend on stuff.
That's what I said
earlier. And that would be a good starting point.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up now, because we can't finalize anything tonight. But now that we've talked about that, let's try and get that on the agenda. So
okay, let's put grammar requests. Hourly fee.
Yeah, and that I don't suspect that's going to happen very often. This one that's got a request, we're going to deny that because what they're asking is so outrageous.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
It's a vexatious request.
It's 30 hours a whole week doing it. I'm not going
to. So our policy allows for us to deny a vexatious request. So, okay. Yeah. So we'll add that to the agenda. What I would ask Rick and LaDon to do is to kind of come up with, I know it's difficult, but roughly in a typical year, average hours in a month or in a year, either one. We can take your both of your contracts and divide it by that, and that would give us some hourly rate.
Here's what it says. It says we may charge for staff time for direct costs such as search, retrieval, summarization, and compilation, not to exceed the salary of the lowest paid capable employee.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
What is that?
Well, we know what it is. They're both paid the same.
Yeah.
So, and is it, okay, is it 600 a month? I can't even remember.
$6,150 a year.
Okay, well, if we tie it to this, what we do, all we need is what a typical month hour is. And I know that's difficult. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some months are this, some months are that.
Well, and the duties have changed a lot since then. And yeah. So, yeah.
If you can come up with an average hour, we can come up with a rate easy. So just divide it into it. Okay. We'll add that to the agenda. Okay. Other citizen requests. We're driving you crazy here tonight. Anything? Frank? Claudia, anything? Dan? John? The Crohn's?
I already did my duty.
Okay. All right. Do we have a motion to adjourn our meeting?
So moved.
So moved and
second
it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Ellen, your 800.